It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon delight.
I don't know, Ron. That sounds kind of crazy.
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
Yeah, you got mental problems, man.
Yeah, it really does.
All right, it's time for the Nooner, presented by Interstate Batteries. To find the outrageously dependable Interstate Batteries at a location near you, go online, interstatebatteries.com. Time for the Nooner here on the Press Box. Thanks to Bill Burr for stopping by. He's going to be coming out to the park at Park MGM this Saturday at 9 o'clock. Make sure to get your tickets. Check out one of the greatest comedians doing it today. I don't know if he made me feel better or worse about the situation in Chicago. And I mean, like, I'm happy that he's happy Chris Sale is there, but then he took us off with that song where I felt like he was mocking my great city, Steve.
You're such a non-factor for East Coasters that he didn't even know the team that the Red Sox pillaged to get your best pitcher.
Yeah, what was that, Toronto?
Yeah. The feeder program of Market 3 Chicago.
Yeah, well, got my one World Series. I'm
that's
happy.
Sad.
It is.
But that right there, that's Northeast fans in a microcosm.
Yeah.
Our world is the only world that exists.
Too much winning. It's kind of true. I just need one. I just need one Bears Super Bowl. I just need one Notre Dame national title.
Even if they're not winning, it's just their world. Yeah. Knicks fans don't win. Do they know anything about the rest of the NBA? No.
Good point. Steve, does anyone... Do you ever get the feeling in your family that people don't like you?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Not well-liked by any of them.
Really?
Older brother, absolutely not. Younger, okay. I think mom and dad are all right with me.
Absolutely not on the older brother.
Oh, yeah.
That must go back a ways.
I don't know, man. It's weird. He's gotten weirder as he's gotten older.
Okay.
Become more childlike.
Out of your whole family, if your dad and mom were going to go drinking, who do you think they take out of the brothers?
Oh, me.
Okay. So you're definitely the more fun one? Would you go as far as to say that?
Believe it or not, like, people think I'm tightly wound.
Yeah.
And I am to a certain extent. They're worse. I have two brothers who are worse than me. Well, here's the thing. My mother is a complete ball buster.
Okay.
So she says anything, and they're both like,
how?
Like, I'll get all huffy and puffy, and I'm just like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, how can you be
somewhere? Where do you think I got it from? Her.
Right.
But right?
Your brothers lived with her too. So what are they not getting that you got?
She drives them nuts.
Okay.
I just don't care. I give it back.
Oh, wait a minute. Do they live closer to her?
One does.
Okay, see, maybe that's it. You went halfway across the country to escape it, and so you can deal
with
it better.
I never had the problems they did.
Okay. All right. Well, this coming down from the Eagles. Tight end Zach Ertz. Okay. Headline, why Zach Ertz's family would pick Julie Ertz over him as a drinking buddy. What?
Well, I think this is great.
What?
I think this is great.
What's it say about Zach Ertz?
I think every set of parents is different. They either like the, let's just go son, daughter, their son's in the marriage. I think it's a mixed bag.
All right.
You've never seen this before? I knew this was the case with you. I guarantee your parents are absolute Big Mac devotees. My mother's the one who makes the decision. My mother has liked just about every girlfriend I've ever had more than me at the time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? No, it sounds like actually we have the exact same mother-son relationship.
Okay.
Mom thinks I'm a joke, constantly makes fun of me. I take it, or I'm trying to learn how to.
You don't take it?
No,
I've
not
seen
really.
You on Facebook
not really.
Screaming at your mother.
I said I'm trying
but you
to.
Ryan, you do understand.
I'm trying to take
the
it.
The norm is mom loves the kid, yeah. And no one is good enough for little Stevie or little Ryan, and they don't like the daughter-in-law. Like my mother with my younger brother, his first marriage, she could not stand his wife and feels like the first wife hurt the relationship between her and my younger brother.
Ah.
And I don't have the heart to tell her, like, it's you. He doesn't like you.
Well,
it wasn't the wife. All right? But that, I mean, that's pretty commonplace that moms are like, I hate the daughter-in-law.
Right, the jealousy factor. Getting in on, impeding on the... on the relationship. All right, so this is... All right, we got some audio here. This is Zach Ertz's family essentially saying they don't like him.
If you're just interested in going to have a good time, have a couple of beers, would you do that with Julie or with Zach?
Well, I'm going to get in so much trouble. Definitely Julie.
Julie. Oh,
honestly, you know, if I get Zach in his element where he's, like, letting loose, I think I'd choose Zach.
Julie would be the person I go to a bar with. Zach would have half of one, then he would give me his, and then start drinking water.
Why? Why does everybody want to have beers with Julie and not with Zach?
Julie's just a little bit more fun-loving. Please don't air that part.
I told you already. When you say that, that means we have to. It's like the law.
Boy, that was awkward.
Steve, you've been out drinking with me. Am I not the guy who drinks one beer and then switches to water?
You do, but it doesn't affect you. You keep talking. So it's not like you're not a lame-o.
Oh, okay.
You're just not a big drinker. That's all.
Right.
But why was the mom like all uncomfortable? My mother and your mother would absolutely answer this and be like, you're going to air that, right? You're going to air that. She was like tiptoeing around. You're going to air that. What's the problem?
We don't make seven figures, Steve. She's getting some pretty sweet Christmas gifts, some pretty sweet birthday gifts.
You think that's what she's afraid of?
I would be.
The money spigot's going to get turned off?
I would be.
No, I just
am I shallow for thinking that?
I think there are families who are just afraid to talk about each other.
I don't know, man.
Everyone's all sensitive.
I think she doesn't want to impede on the cash cow. You piss Zach off. What are the other brothers? Like a mechanic, an IT guy? Like, come on. They're not buying you trucks and TVs and houses. And
it's all about money for Big Mac. All about money.
Kind of. Sort of is. Would certainly be the case if I was an NFL player. All right, we're saying this is an all SO edition of the Nooner. In case you don't know what SO is.
Significant other.
Significant other.
You sounded surprised at that. Did you not know?
No, I knew. Okay. I didn't know when we first started working together. I had no idea what the hell you were talking about for like the first month.
I know. I should mention it more.
SO. I was like, what? You love abbreviations, dude.
Well, because I do. My lady friend has the same name as someone else's lady friend or an old lady friend, so I don't want to confuse people.
Okay. I can appreciate that. My dad's had a lot of different girlfriends. He had one named Tracy and one named Teresa. Yeah. Now his new wife is Teresa, but he was dating Tracy before that, so he just calls him T.
I like that.
Just sticks with the one letter.
Yeah.
Man after your own heart.
I might change mine to little D. Does that work better?
I don't think so.
What?
I don't think that's
good. Don't be all pervy. It's little D.
No, it's never pervy. Never pervy. Headline. Rhys Hockins waited for Philly's West Coast trip to propose on the beach. Oh, my God. How great. How thoughtful. Hoskins. Found the perfect moment to pop the question. It's when they were out visiting the Diamondbacks. So he took his girlfriend down to the beach in San Diego and popped the question. Well, you're giving me a look. You put this in the rundown. You sounded disgusted by it.
I'm not married. I've never proposed, so I wanted your opinion on it. Ari's been married. That worked out.
Yeah, how'd that go, Ari?
Oh, yeah, it worked out great.
Where'd you propose?
I chose to... She knew. Like, there was no surprising her at all. Mm. And we really went big on... What?
I just love Ari's defeatist attitude. There's nothing I could come up with to surprise her. She knew everything that I would ever do and everywhere. Mm. So what'd you come up with?
It was a great outcome, too. Great memories. So we never... we don't really frequent the strip, Steve, as most Steve, locals
Steve,
don't.
Steve's so happy right now. I'm sorry. I actually kind of feel bad for you, even though the whole Bill Burr situation earlier... Steve has somehow leveled that out to make me some bit of sympathy and empathy for you, which is incredible.
Oh, I mean, if you want to talk about this after the show, you'll feel real sympathetic. But we rarely hit the strip, and neither of us, by coincidence, had ever done the gondola ride, which seems very cliche and cheesy, right? But it was the element of surprise. Like, there was no way. We would never do that. So we had dinner there. It was New Year's Eve.
The gondola ride.
I had at a restaurant.
New Year's Eve?
Yeah, another unpredictable thing. Yeah.
Wow.
I was trying to surprise. I did it. I did well.
That's a buildup.
Yeah. And then the
firework right after she says no.
I wish.
Good. I wish.
Yeah. The rundown says great memories. Was it all worth it? No.
So did you have a guy sing the proposal or you did it?
No. It was just a gondola ride, like regular, which threw her off because, like, I said it very subtly, like, do you want to just, might as well, we're here. Let's just do it. And then I pulled the ring out while we were on the thing. So I don't really go for the highbrow. I'm kind of private, but you know, you had to do something. So
next time, maybe you should.
Shockingly,
maybe it was thinking. Destined to fail from the start.
Maybe
you didn't throw out a hey, should we do it? That was not your proposal.
I did
right?
not know.
Yay!
I was like, hey, I don't know if you're interested,
and we kind of like each other. Why don't we get married? Okay.
I was like, I wouldn't, but if you want to do this, you know.
I'll make you feel better. So mine was actually worse than that. It was. I mean, in the sense that I had their same situation. Now, I'm still married. Yes, I'm 10 years in. Thank you. Love you, Faith. But no, we both knew it was coming. I had a plan to take her out to one of our favorite restaurants here in Las Vegas, a place we went on our first date. But at the time, when I wanted to take her on this dinner, she was very concerned about money. I was like, hey, we're going to go to this dinner. And she's like, oh, we don't have the money. We can't do it. And she fought me. For 2 days, she fought me right up until we were going to go on the dinner. And I was like, fine. So I'm in the living room, and I was like, well, I can't do it at the restaurant. Which, you know, in hindsight, I'm actually glad, because at the end of the day, I would have been the guy. And then, no disrespect to anybody who's done that, but it just kind of feels like, you know, one step up from a gondola ride or one step down. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I just kind of very casual.
Yeah, but don't you feel like the restaurant, maybe not the gondola, but the restaurant is a safe environment? Like, she can't turn you down, and then you get a little applause. Like, it actually makes it feel like a special moment instead of somewhere quiet where she's like, I don't know if I want to do this. And then she says it, and you're both like, did we just make a mistake?
I like
it. When the crowd's in the restaurant, yeah! You're like, all right, this feels good.
I feel like that episode of It's Always Sunny where Dennis is talking about people on the boat implying, well, it's under the implication that they can't leave. They're on a boat. It's in the water. You can't say no. The implication of
there's
very,
no one at
very,
a
restaurant. That's very dastardly, Steve.
There's no one at a restaurant who. What are they gonna? Well, I would. I would do it under my breath with a little. After the, I think I've done
of
it before.
Of course you would.
But the rest of the crowd will clap. So where'd you wind up doing it?
Leave it to Steve.
So Reese Hoskins to the Phillies.
Yes.
Wait until he goes west. Yeah. Is on a beach.
Yeah.
Proposes.
Yeah. Living room.
You did it in the living room.
Had the ring custom made. Couldn't get her out to the dinner. I got frustrated. I was like, fine. We're not going to dinner. I'm not going to do it the way I want to do it. So here's your ring. Let's get married.
What do you guys both think of the proposal? The way I think this is the way it's being done with celebrities who have money. Proposal, I think, is done for real. And then they do a fake proposal photo shoot. Like, they reenact it? Because you see this a lot now, right?
Yeah, you do.
Like, hey, look at the
magic moment.
Look at
moment.
The great photo with the sunset. In the background, just happened to be a cameraman there, and she had no idea it was coming. No, they must do it a second time. They must fake it, right?
You're doomed to fail. Your whole relationship then is predicated on a lie and a falsehood. It's all a show. If you're willing to go to that length to capture a perfect moment, a special moment, what does that say about your relationship? I feel much more secure with just randomly popping the question to my wife and on a Tuesday night in the living room because nothing came to fruition and it just had to be done because, well, that's just the way things roll sometimes.
All right, do you think if you cared more when you proposed and had a better setting that your marriage would have lasted?
No, it has nothing. It's irrelevant. And I'm not even joking. I didn't
No.
She had diminished expectations from the get-go. She's like, it's going to kind of suck.
It's not creative.
We never talked.
Surprise me.
Like, this
there's
does
no,
suck.
There's no excitement.
We were together for 5 years, and it was never a thing, marriage, until it was a thing. So it wasn't even, you know, I didn't need that validation. It was kind of just,
Was it a thing for her or a thing for you?
That was a thing for her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this feels like it was over, like, as you proposed.
Yeah.
Like, why'd you even do
no,
it?
No, irrelevant. Like, it was over a few months later. Totally irrelevant. I wish I could pin the whole 6 years on a failed marriage proposal, but...
Well, ladies out there listening, if you want a piece
I'm
of
a
the amazingly positive Ari, you can see his outlook on life is awesome. Or if you're a dude listening, you got a sister... You know, Ari's like, a mid-30-something, early-30-something?
Maybe.
Attractive dude, super positive like the rest of us, so he's all yours.
Very
just call,
energy,
in, call
very
in right now.
Guy.
Yep. What are you on Twitter? For future wives?
At @token__.
Two underscores.
Hit me in the DMs, yes.
That's not confusing.
Hit me in the DMs. God, I hope you get something out of this.
I do not.
All right, final story. Quick one here on this all-SO edition of the Nooner. Headline, Chloe and Tristan, Kendall and Ben can watch. Okay, so this is from TMZ. It's looking like Chloe and Tristan, of course, Tristan Thompson, Kardashian, TTK, is out with Chloe, but he took a dueling vacation with Kendall Jenner and Ben Simmons. Oh, no. Oh, no, Steve. Sixers fans, should they be worried?
Yes. Yes.
Not good.
Yes.
What good comes of spending more time with Kardashians if you're an athlete? Can you give me one example where they powered up and been like, hey, you know what? MVP season. Sixth man of the year. Oops, wait.
Well, think about their relationships. Who's stuck with them for a while and been ultra motivated to get better at what they do? Like, even there's only been one dip in James Harden's career, and it came right after hanging out with Khloe.
Right?
I mean, I assume at this point Tristan Thompson is just a solid player. He's not going to get better. You're living the life now.
Yeah, I'm not worried about.
He was already making.
Yeah,
money.
I'm not worried about TTK. I'm worried about Ben Simmons.
No, well, because right. He's done. It doesn't right. matter. He's exactly. He is what he is. He's right. making $17 million right. a year. He's a 8.6 rebound guy, and that's all he's going to be. But Ben Simmons has the potential to be a top 10 player in the NBA.
He had the potential.
I'm not going to write him off.
Oh,
I just
concerned.
And people are probably laughing at this. That's a highfalutin existence to live. NBA players already make a lot of money. These Jenners and Kardashians are filthy rich.
Yeah, you think the New York media is tough? You think that's a spot to be in? Try dating a Kardashian. See how you deal with that shine. See how you deal with that media.
Oh, you're looking at it the other way.
It's a distraction.
Okay.
On every level. Also, they're succubuses. They take everything from you. Your passion, your skill, your future.
Seems strong.
Where's the lie? Show me the lie, Steve Cofield.
Scott Disick seems really motivated now. No? I don't know that he had motivation going in. I think he's
Is he the fat one?
No,
Rob's the fat one.
No.
He's an actual Kardashian,
right?
No,
Disick's kind of the rich bro.
The hedge fund guy?
Type dude,
or he
yeah.
looks like a hedge fund guy. Looks like an extra from Boulder.
You know what? I'll give you one guy who's motivated. I think Kanye's still motivated.
To be crazy.
So what? He's still motivated. He's not holding him back.
Ooh.
I mean, or is he getting worse?
I was going to say, he went full crazy when he got with Kim. Like, he was already going down the pathway to the nut house. But
and that's affected his music?
Sure. I haven't listened to Kanye in a while. I didn't like 808s and Heartbreak.
Token,
I didn't like
Yeezus.
You're a
rap master and a copyright
expert.
Yeah. I think it started when his mom passed away. That's when 808s came out.
But that is also kind of like when he got with Kim, wasn't it? It was around the same
after
time,
that,
2011,
yeah.
2010, something like that.
Yeah, after that, it's just been spun out.
Then he dyed his hair blonde, and he said slavery was a choice. And he got the gold toilets.
Are you projecting here?
Maybe. Perhaps.
I mean, do you feel like you're being held back because of your wife, your mate?
No, God, no. I thought you were just projecting in general. Just
I always wonder when people listen and they hear it cracking on the Kardashians, if they're like, oh, projecting, dude. Like, no, not really.
Yeah, no. No.
Do I lack motivation since I've been with a little D? Right? With the SO?
You gotta stick with that.
Can I get more jobs?
I think the SO, right. I think that's a fantastic scenario. I've always been envious of your SO situation.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, significant other.
Yeah. Oh, you mean not being married?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
I thought you meant the
motivational part.
Yeah.
The life choices you made.
Yeah, the life choice. I think that's...
Yeah.
And I like Debbie. She's great.
Yeah.
What's up with you? Jeez.
What's going on here?
I don't know. Yeah. Compliments?
I know.
I don't know what's going on. Hey, listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to be
it's
very...
It's getting all gushy
yeah,
here.
These guys
were screaming at each other half an hour ago.
We're going to cut all this negativity.
Look at who... Negativity.
Or all this positivity.
Get back to the negativity.
We're going to... Exactly. Thank you, Ari.
That
we're
going to
cut
fest.
The positivity. We're going to cut these smiles out. I'm going to punch someone in the face. We're going to come back with what is the great, for the, at least the next few weeks, Tuesdays are the greatest day of the year, or the week, I should say. And that's because Hard Knocks, it returns tonight. I'm so excited, I can almost contain myself. So I get, maybe the negativity won't be entirely limited, or excuse me, the positivity won't be entirely limited, but I'm sure we'll find some things to yell about. Coming up next, Press Box.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
All right, welcome back to the Press Box. No Clay and Ed today. It's myself, Ryan McKinnell, Steve Cofield, around the way.
No.
What?
All that positivity that's normally on the Press Box.
Wow.
And all everyone here is doing is screaming and busting chops. And
what do you want, Steve? What did I do wrong now?
See what I mean? Right there? Okay. Not to steal your show, because this is your show, the Press Box, today.
Yes.
But the stuff that came down with Maryland.
No, big news, for sure.
This is massive. Now, I think what they found out is we have no other direction to go. So the story is Jordan McNair, an offensive lineman, dies after a practice back on May 29th. Amazingly, very little happened since then. We opened the show talking about college football culture and just how, man, these programs close ranks. A player can die under your watch, and it becomes virtually a non-story around the country within 4 days until ESPN, and ESPN actually started looking into this. Heather Denich and others started looking into this in early June. It took them a couple of months to get all the sources, right? Many are anonymous because
they have to be.
They're scared crapless about retribution. Then ESPN releases the story. Durkin is, he's the head coach at Maryland. Young dude, go-getter, was with Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Also worked with Will Muschamp, who's at South Carolina. Muschamp had this impassioned defense of Durkin. Said anonymous sources are gutless. Put their name on it. You're like, wait, dude, why are you speaking on this? Let them do their investigation. So they had a press conference today. The other reported culprit in this whole thing was a psycho weight coach, strength coach. He's fired.
Good.
So right there, you're like, okay, they found something. They're pinning some responsibility on someone. We'll see what comes out of it with Durkin. But I thought this was... this shocked me. Just because I expect excuses all the time and cover-ups. But yeah, the president and AD at a press conference said, quote, ready for this? The university accepts legal and moral responsibility for the mistakes that our training staff made on that fateful workout day. They basically misdiagnosed the situation, which tells me they are prepped to write some kind of check. Like, they're not going to fight this in court. Yeah. There's going to be some kind of settlement. But you almost never see schools do this. And the sad part is, and I've seen people kind of busting on Maryland, that the kid died, like, what, 49 days ago?
Yeah.
And now the president and AD are commenting on it publicly and apologizing to the family 49 days later. But you know what? At least they're doing it. At least they're not pushing back. They're not trying to intimidate potential sources, witnesses. So it's a step in the right direction. I mean, the correct step would have been make sure that protocol is followed, not have a freaking strength coach as a psycho on your staff, and this kid could be alive. And he actually, the president, Wallace Lowe, actually went as far as saying no vital signs were taken. I mean, that's horrendous. The kid collapsed and then had a seizure, and you don't call any medical personnel from off campus for an hour.
Oh, it's completely egregious.
Other safeguarding actions were not taken. I mean, everything he says is like cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. He goes, for me, that's enough to say I need to apologize to Jordan's family. And Lowe also, the president, acknowledged that McNair's death could have been prevented.
And listen, we can sit here and we can harp on the 39 days or the 49 days, whatever that exact number is. I agree that this should have been handled sooner. But I do want to give a big tip of the cap and a lot of credit to Maryland to doing this, because we started with the show talking about the culture and accountability in college football and when are we going to see changes. You know, this, I can't think, even though this is a little delayed, I can't think of a program coming out with such a quickness and nipping something in the bud. Like, this scandal broke earlier this week, just yesterday, essentially, over the weekend.
Right.
And now we're sitting here Tuesday, and Maryland is, not only are they admitting guilt, which is surely going to cost them money and prestige, but they're giving us added information, disclosing added information that we didn't have before, at least in terms of taking the vitals when that happened, and their negligence. So is it perfect? No, but it is damn sure a step in the right direction.
And it appears, because they threw the strength coach overboard, that he's one of the guys they want to blame the strongest for the culture. This is really interesting. His name is Rick Court. So Dennis Dodd of CBS is all over this. He says the NCAA requires only that strength coaches be certified by, and he just says, somebody. It's a pretty important job.
I'm sure he's making a nice chunk of change.
I think the settlement was for over $300,000.
Jesus.
So think about the responsibility that strength coaches hold.
Right.
I mean, you're messing with someone's body on a daily basis. You don't know what you're doing. That could lead to permanent damage. Or in this case, again, I'm not saying he was fully responsible, the strength coach, for this kid dying at practice or after practice. But you're responsible for something super serious. Remember, the Oregon coach, Oregon had some issues last year. No. It was actually when Taggart first took over at Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
That strength coach, drove some kids into the freaking ground, got Oregon in trouble. This guy, Rick Court, he's got master strength coach honors from CSCCA. Any clue?
No.
The only thing I can find under CSC... I'm sorry. Let me get this right. Did I look up the wrong thing? Okay, CSCCA. I looked up CSCAA. That was the swimming association.
Okay.
Yeah, this is basically Collegiate Strength and Conditioning Coaches Association. That's his... I don't see anything from a school. People are starting to dig on this. And this is important. And again, I know we're all doing this, and I think we all feel that we're under attack. And I do believe that media has changed. And there's some weak stuff out there. There's agendas being delivered instead of news. But, folks, I cannot repeat enough. Without the media on this case, none of this is happening. Without someone doing a real investigation, no one is looking into Jordan McNair's death and finding this stuff out. And if you don't think this is serious business, what about all the other kids at Maryland who were at risk because of this jackass strength coach? This is real life. You know? So to scream out, my football program's being attacked! ESPN hates Maryland! No one hates Maryland. All right, some fans do. But you get my point?
Yeah. And you know what?
They're not just digging up Maryland dirt after a kid dies because they have an agenda against Maryland. We're just trying to get to the truth. And this is reality when you send a kid off to a football program. You know, Tony Sanchez, super aggressive recruiter, right? Doing a better job in town of building up the local ranks, getting kids from Texas and California. So those parents in Texas and California who might not be that familiar with UNLV and especially Tony Sanchez, what do they want to know? Two things. Are you going to make my kid a better person moving forward and prep him for life? And two, what sort of education is the kid going to get? And I would hope three, hey, what's the football like?
All right.
That should be the third thing.
Got country football, right.
And in all of that,
yeah.
Am I okay to put my child in your hands? I've had control of this person for 18 years. Now I'm handing over parental duties to you. Can I add something serious? Don't kill them, please.
Nice little caveat there.
Right?
Right.
Serious business.
Yeah, am I crazy? As I'm sitting here, obviously we're digesting this and it all just had come down and I'm trying to...
Yeah, breaking news on Maryland. Right. The strength coach has been fired and the university has basically said, we accept legal and moral responsibility for this lineman's death back in May. And we think his life could have been saved. This could have been prevented. Sorry. We are really sorry.
I can't get away from the fact that this is a huge deal. I don't know why. I'm just so surprised. And maybe I'm crazy. But, Steve, I really feel like Maryland could have gotten away from this. Players die all the time. In high school, in college, heat stroke, heart attacks, all that stuff. It happens. Mm-hmm. It happens almost every single year at various levels. So Maryland could have very easily come with that narrative. They could have. It's a tragedy what happened at Maryland. We acknowledge that, you know, things could have been done differently, but the fact remains this is a dangerous. What I'm saying is they could have taken a different line here. Instead of taking a different line, and I don't want to be hyperbolic, but they may have on some level changed how this is handled, not just this instance, but all instances going forward. They really, in a time when I'm glad they did it, but I just feel like they didn't need to. I feel like they could have skated on this. It looks like Ohio State, Urban Meyer's going to state on a very serious issue. He skated at Florida, right? This just doesn't happen. You don't see universities, you don't see programs get out in front of stories. And if they do, they don't carte blanche accept responsibility like this, both legal and moral. It just never happens. It just never happens. I'm honestly just dumbfounded and shocked at this news coming down. I really am.
Well, and you know, on a side note, you can see why coaches, as things come unraveled, because they don't have, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't have carte blanche to do whatever they want, because these incidents keep happening. Dennis Dodd points out from CBS, three players have died. College players have died since June 13th. About 25 college football players have died since 2000.
Did you say from June of this year, three college players have died?
Mm-hmm. At different levels, yep.
Now tell me Maryland couldn't got away from this. Tell me how Maryland easily could have avoided this controversy, financial and morally. They could have just chalked it up to business as usual.
They could have done a cover-up.
Yep.
Just like it seems like it happens in many cases.
I don't even know if it would have been a cover-up. Just an acknowledgement that it was a tragedy.
Hey, things happen.
But this is business as usual. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing that, they fundamentally broke ranks, something we never see from any major program. And not only did they embrace the tragedy and everything that's happened and their responsibility, they went a step further and gave us added details just how much they fundamentally failed McNair, this dead child, this dead teen, 19 years old. Absolutely incredible. It really is. Am I being hyperbolic when I say this could change the culture? This could change future scandals?
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the Penn State thing with Sandusky would have changed everything, but clearly it didn't at Ohio State. And I'm not saying Ohio State was harboring and enabling a pedophile, but they were with a seemingly chronic domestic abuser. So it takes a long time to change things, man.
And maybe a pedophile, potentially.
Oh, well, yeah, that's obviously not Ohio State football. It's going back to Ohio State wrestling in the 80s and 90s.
But it's the university, you know. Another scandal.
Yep. Change takes a long time.
Sure does.
It's pretty heartbreaking. If you're the McNair family, I mean, I guess it's some solace that they're going to apologize and, you know, you'll get something, money, but...
Well, it's got to be...
What's your child's life worth? How much money?
Well, maybe this McNair situation, maybe this helps save future lives. You know, maybe this helps the culture of football going forward.
And the funny thing is, I guarantee there's people listening who are like, toughen up, Buttercup.
Yeah.
Things happen. The society's getting wimpier. We had someone who said they played college football earlier. No name on the account, though. At Wolverines8 said, so how come when I played old school in the old school era and went through all the discipline and toughness, there was no problems?
No, people died, too.
It was an invaluable learning experience. Maybe it's more of an indictment on today's society than on the coaches. So see what I mean? People immediately push back and are like wimps.
Right. Without hearing the facts that now Maryland is coming out and acknowledging that they didn't take the proper precautions to make sure this kid didn't die.
That was before. That was before Maryland came out. But I'm not sure that it would change his mind.
Right. And that's my point.
Kids are softer now.
That's my point. I don't think it would change his mind. It's like, oh, he died. Like, you know, drink some more water. Or, you know, you're in the wrong business or whatever, like you said.
To Big Mac's point, kids have been dying playing football forever. Yep. It just didn't get covered.
Yep.
In all these podunk towns and all these small college towns, things happen.
And again.
Hey, local newspaper guy, you're going to report this? You sure you want to do that? Wink, wink.
Yep.
Be careful.
And again.
Crossing us. Be careful.
And again, be aware of this when you attack local press, when you use terms like fake news. When you go out and have these strong opinions, just remember, you know, you might not have a kid. It might be your niece. It might be your brother. It might be someone. It might be someone you care about next. The press exists for a reason. It is a free press for a reason, and anonymous sources exist for a reason. And you're seeing that today at Maryland football. Congrats to them. Right back here on the press box. No Ed and Clay today. Is myself, Ryan McKinnell, joined across the way by Steve Cofield. Got Ari Platinum holding it down. Token. Behind the board, sort of. Halfway behind the board, kind of behind the board. Coming up, about a half hour, got Marcus Pfaff from The Score in Wisconsin. Going to be talking a little Green Bay Packers, NFL, and Aaron Rodgers versus the rookies. But right now, what?
I'm fired up. I love Hard Knocks.
Oh, okay.
Last week I lost control, I'll admit it.
Okay, good.
On my regular show.
Yes, that's where we're going. Our Cleveland Browns.
I lost control.
We've now, in the Finley Toyota studio booth, we have now... Over the last, I don't know, 6 months, if any of you have been listening, this is now... The Raiders aren't here for 2 more years, so until they get here, this is a Cleveland Browns booth.
2 years from now, unless they're somehow exempt, the Raiders should be the Hard Knocks team. Right? The year they moved to Vegas?
Ooh.
Should be locked in already. I don't care what Gruden wants or not.
follow the whole move.
Yeah, they did it with the Rams.
That's right.
And believe me, it's John Gruden and the Raiders are going to deliver deliver a lot more than freaking Jeff Fisher did with the Rams. That season was lame.
There have been some truly abysmal coaches in the history of Hard Knocks. We're in year 17 of Hard Knocks.
Abysmal for TV, not necessarily bad coaches.
Well, they usually go hand in hand.
Yeah, I don't know that Mike Smith, the old Atlanta coach, is a terrible coach.
Okay, that's
my
fair.
My God, he was boring.
That's fair.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah,
the Dolphins year?
Yeah, Joe Philbin and Jeff Fisher. Both of them were, like, the way Jeff Fisher, like, handled some of the firings, you were just like, my God, I couldn't imagine going to bat for a guy like that. Same thing with Joe Philbin. I'm watching it this year, and we're only one episode in. I'm going back to last week, and I look at Hugh Jackson, man. I don't know. I just...
What don't you know?
Well, first of all, it was a very emotional episode one for Hugh. You know, he lost his brother, and then he finds out during that episode that he also loses his mom, which is, you know, terrible. But
Do you feel bad ripping him when you know all that was going on?
Well, kind of. That's kind of what I was setting up. That, like, I feel like if that was removed from the episode, I would maybe have more to say about Hugh Jackson. But I'm going back to that meeting that they had with his personnel in the office, and they're all sitting in that circle, and they're talking about injured players, or in some cases not injured players, needing to get on the field to take reps to make themselves better. And Hugh essentially comes out, he's like, listen guys, I understand your hesitancy, your disappointment, but hey, I've been where you're at, you necessarily haven't been where I'm at, and hey, trust me, there's nothing worse than getting them out there and then getting them injured. That, to me, I hear that as you're leading through fear, and then you're making decisions based on fear, and then you take it a step further. Listen, this is why Hard Knocks exists. It exists to give us an inside look at the inner workings of an NFL franchise, right? I look around that table after Hugh gives that speech that this is my team. They are all slack-jawed, uninspired, looking at their papers. There's just no emotion in that room.
Well, the emotion was they're all annoyed. They're like,
exactly.
We don't believe in this guy at all.
Exactly.
See, I like Hard Knocks.
So I'm excited.
I like Hard Knocks because not only is it a look at what a football organization is like, the inner workings, but it also is a reflection of many workplaces around this country.
Interesting. The dysfunction.
Yeah.
The lack of communication.
What are our sports meetings like sometimes? With the huffing and puffing and negative body language, and every once in a while, a boss has to step up and go, I'm the boss, shut up. That's what Hugh Jackson did. He's like, you don't like it? Too bad. I'm the boss. And that's it. That is a lot of workplaces. I'm not singling out our meetings because I believe that it's pretty much everywhere in radio I've worked, and I think that's lots of workplaces. You know, that could be a sales staff. That could be, you know, a manufacturing plant. It's just that there's going to be discord on the staff. There's going to be complaints sometimes about the way things are run, and then your job as a boss is to kind of minimize the frustration and try to get better.
Unfortunately for Hugh, much higher turnover in the head coaching department in the NFL than your average everyday American job.
He's coming off two. I mean, what's the equivalent? Like, what's the equivalent in manufacturing? Like,
well, at least with manufacturing, you'd have an excuse that the whole industry is on a downturn.
Your product sucks, and your sales are down by 90%. And for some reason, the owner keeps you around. That's the equivalent of 1-31. And now you have to inspire the troops, the assistants, the assistant managers underneath you, and go, you know, I'm doing it the right way. And they're all like, really? We're almost out of business, dude.
Browns start off 0-4. He still have his job?
No. They can't start off 0-4.
How much of a grace period do you think they got?
0-4 is a disaster.
Yeah. 1-3?
They have to get a win in the first three or four games. I think if they're out to like 2-6, I think he's gone.
Yeah.
Because then you also have the other thing to watch is the dynamic with Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor. Which, by the way, did you see this?
One of the things before you get to it, as we love the, you know, it gives us an inside look at the office of the personnel. We also find out nuggets that even the most ardent sports fans, and in this case, Tyrod Taylor supporters, wouldn't even know.
Well, we're watching the scene last week with the QBRV, and
which is pretty amazing.
This four-string quarterback, Brogan Roback, who's in charge of stocking the fridge and making sure the RV is clean, he shows an area where we thought he was Tyrod Taylor.
he says, this is where Tirad has his stuff. And I'm like, this guy is a moron. He's not going to make the team. He doesn't even know the starting quarterback's name. And then I see a note today. Apparently, we've all been saying Tyrod, which certainly Ty God ain't going to work if it's Tirad. But my question is, and this has happened before in sports, how do you go through 8 or 12 years of pretty high-profile football and you never say to someone, hey, that's not my name?
It's actually a good point. Are those the leadership qualities of a quarterback?
I'm not going to get into that.
No, I will.
No, because I think some people are so humble that they don't want to ruffle feathers, but I just find it...
Well, right. Like, yeah, wait a minute. You
like
just
if all these years my real name was Stavey, what is that? What's a little accent? Aigu? Yeah. Is that what it is in French? In Francois? Right? Stavey. If the whole time it's been Stavey, and I was like, well, I just wasn't comfortable...
Stavey and little D.
...correcting people all the time, but I would like to be Stavey Cofield.
Hey, man. You immediately scoffed at my... Where I was going to go with that.
Yeah, because you go negative right away. Yeah. It's coming from me.
Yeah. Why? Listen, you got a quarterback. You got a foundation, a guy who leads your team, a leader of men. The highest position in football, oozing confidence and focus and know-how. And you can't correct a dude on your name? People have been calling you Tyrod, Ty God. It's not Togod. It's Ty God.
Yeah, Togod does not work that
No,
well.
It doesn't. It's almost as good as Stavey. Which is to say, not good at all. But I mean, if you want to go with it, I'm not going to stop you. I think that's incredible. Stavey and Big Mac, that's got a nice ring to it. I'm with it.
Well, at least I didn't. I'm not going to do this. Should I do it?
Yes. Whenever you ask that question, yes.
Are you anti full name with people?
Middle name included?
No. Full first name. Like, I get irked. I don't know why.
Oh, if someone called you Steven?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
I'm
no.
Ryan.
I'm not mad if they call me Steven.
Oh.
I'm mad if they want to be called Steven or Michael or. I'm trying to think of other full names where you're like,
yeah, I had a guy that wanted to go by Matthew and I wouldn't do it. I'm not calling you Matthew. It's just the soft.
I'm not calling you Matthew.
Yeah, you're Matt. You're Matt or Maddie or Maddie D or you're not Matthew. I'm sorry, I can't do it. So I'm with you in that regard, Steven.
I don't mind. You can do it.
All right,
that's fine.
Okay.
I don't know. Just feel like it's presumptuous, which is weird, isn't it? Like, it's their name. They can request what they want with their name.
Society dictates what's acceptable. Matthew is unacceptable.
For the former, if you want to be called Tirad, then we'll go with that. But you got to tell us.
Well, we're not done with this Hard Knocks conversation. We got plenty more coming up. Tonight is week 2 of Hard Knocks. Oh, my God, I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself. That and more coming back on the Press Box.